welcome to Data Science Perspectives. This series focuses on analytics and data science professionals from across industry to learn about how their career unfolded, what skills they look for when hiring, and what trends they think are coming next. I'm your host, Bill Franks. Let's get to it. Welcome to this episode of Data Science Perspectives. I'm your host, Bill Franks. Today, we're lucky enough to have Rod Bates, currently with PwC, joining us. He's another Atlanta native that I'm featuring on the show, and he and I first met years back when he was at Coca-Cola. I've always found him very interesting to talk to, and I think you will today also. He began his career at Intel many years back before spending a substantial tenure at Federal Express up in Tennessee. At FedEx, he had jobs across marketing, sales, and operations, providing analytical support. He initially came to Atlanta for a job with marketing firm Epsilon, where he joined their strategy group. From there, he went to become the vice president of decision sciences at Coca-Cola, and that's where I first met him just recently in the past year or so. He's ended up at PwC, where he's now back on the consulting side. He's got both a master's and a bachelor's of math from University of Mississippi, and he's got an MBA from University of Tennessee. And with that, let's welcome Rod to the show. Hey, Rod, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bill, great to be here.
So, you know, one thing, I know you come from a different background, as everybody does. We'll talk about that as we go. But what initially drew you into the world of analytics and data science? Because like me, you got into it back, you know, more towards the early 90s when it was far from cool.
Yeah, that's right. And thanks for dating both of us back to the early 90s there. But you know, we had similar paths then, right? I mean, you know, I think as you mentioned in my bio, you know, I have a math and a statistics background and some computer science sprinkled in too. And, you know, I just grew up sort of loving that stuff. And, you know, when there was an opportunity to apply that sort of in a practical sense in business, that was sort of like a magical sort of discovery for me. Like, you know, I really love doing math. I really love thinking about statistics and using, you know, technology. And as those things all came together in what we now call analytics or data science, that was just, you know, sort of really exciting for me. And, you know, I just took it and ran with it. So I feel like it was really great timing for me that, you know, as I came out of grad school with those math degrees and stats degrees, that this field is really starting to explode at that time. And I've just kind of rode the wave ever since. So it's been great.
Well, you know, that wave included stints at, you know, two of the best known brand names in the entire world, Coca-Cola and FedEx. So, you know, you spent some time really two very large, very well-known organizations on the client side. What were some of the similarities and differences you saw in terms of working for big companies like that?
Yeah. And, you know, I was very fortunate to have worked for those two. I really treasured my time spent at both those places. You know, and it's interesting because, as you mentioned, they're different in different sectors, right? With FedEx being in transportation and logistics and Coke, of course, in CPG. And, you know, it was a great learning opportunity for me in both, because the key difference in our field of analytics is really, as we all know, it starts with the data, right? And, you know, the data that's available to a firm like FedEx and the transportation industry and the data they need to actually run the business and to drive insights for their business was in a very different place than it was for a CPG like Coca-Cola. And here's what I mean by that. You know, for FedEx, mostly a B2B concern, a lot of the data that we use to drive the analytics and insights sort of, you know, back, let's say, 20 years ago was first party data. Right. I mean, we acquired certain third party data sets. We had some second party data. But, you know, I would say 80% of what we needed at that time was first party data readily available. We didn't spend a lot of time thinking about, do we have the data that we need? You know, and then you flip over and think about a CPG. It really is about having a sound data strategy. Because, you know, consumer data and understanding what consumers and shoppers and food service guests are doing is critically dependent on what data do I have to answer those questions. And then I think now more and more industries, even like FedEx, are starting to realize that as well. They're starting to have sort of transformations in place that say, you know, what data do I need to go get to sort of drive deeper insights, you know, and understand our customers better. So, yeah, I mean, I think about, you know, the similarities and the differences sort of, you know, in that evolution of data strategy in particular.
Yeah, so when you mentioned the CPG challenge, I don't think most people necessarily think about that if they've never dealt with that industry. But we think about the wealth of data and everyone has all this detailed, you know, customer consumer data. And in the CPG world, you know, when the stuff sold through Target or Kroger or Walgreens, that's who has the customer data. And what the CPG has inherently is how much in mass they sold to that retailer. And so I think that's a, that's been an ongoing challenge. And I think that's why we've seen the rollout of things like, you know, with Coke, where you had your loyalty program, where you scan the caps and such. It's that effort to at least try and get access
that's right.
to those.
Yeah. I mean, it's imperative to think about what your first party data strategy is. You know, loyalty programs like, you know, Sip and Scan that you mentioned. And I think the other thing is partnerships, right? And, you know, maybe we call that second party data, but you mentioned the retailers and the partnerships with them and, you know, how we share data back and forth to, you know, to help both of us sort of in that shared benefit of data assets. So, yeah, I think first party data, data partnerships increasingly become sort of part of that, that you know, mandate for data initiatives.
So when you talk about having to set those strategies and so forth, I know that you've recently moved back for your second stint in the consulting side of things. You had originally been with Epsilon, now with PwC. So how do you see that world being different from that, that client side world, and how are you putting your skills to use?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing that comes to mind for anyone that's been on both sides or familiar with both sides is sort of the, on the client side, the depth that you go into, right, with an individual client and sort of really being, you know, part of the day to day and immersed in sort of the client's, on the client side, sort of the long-term vision, of building something, right? And the consulting side, sort of, it's exciting to get sort of the view of what, you know, many different firms are doing and sort of different journeys and different points along the way that, you know, that they're all at and their differing objectives, right? And how you can bring a data and analytics solution in place to help accelerate their, you know, them along their journeys. And so many of them are in digital, you know, undergoing digital transformations right now. So being able to come in and be part of that, and bring the expertise that you're seeing and that you've built within the firm, you know, to those specific problems. So, you know, both are great. Again, I've been very fortunate to have been on both sides. But definitely, I think, you know, like I said, on the consulting side, it's super fast paced and being able to sort of shift gears and jump from one, you know, one engagement to another and help our clients move that along.
You know, it's interesting. You pointed out the obvious, you know, they're different and more people than not only end up on one side of that fence, right? They're either client side their whole career, or they're consulting side their whole career. There are people who have done both. So what have been some of the traits you think you have that have enabled you to actually, you know, succeed and enjoy both of those environments?
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, if you are good on the client side in data and analytics in our space, you're sort of an internal consultant, right? I mean, what we do for our internal stakeholders when we're in a corporate setting is really understand sort of what their business problems are. So I think, you know, the skills and traits that we all sort of pick up, you know, along the way, whether it's, you know, the hard technical skills, the quantitative skills, you know, the statistical skills, are table stakes, right? I say this a lot. Those are table stakes. You have to be able to understand what the business problems are. And like you said in a recent blog, I think, you know, don't, you know, understand sort of the balance of, you know, how much you need to share as far as the technical details. But, and that's listening and that's communicating and that's sort of understanding what the business problems are and really how data and analytics can help. and knowing when it's sort of your role to sort of, I think, deliver solutions without necessarily sharing all of the details. So again, I think it's that collaboration, good listening skills, super important, storytelling, et cetera, and being able to be consultative, whether it's inside or outside the organization.
I think that's an incredibly critical point as well, especially for, you know, students or people early in their career who think of it really as an either or. Totally true that in analytics, you're never working really for or with your team. You're working for someone. Maybe that's marketing. Maybe that's supply chain. Maybe that's operations. But at the end of the day, you're having to go in and consult with them. Now, when you're on the consulting side, it just happens to be they work for a different company. But, I can tell you my very first job out of school at AT&T, we were set up as an internal consulting organization. And I mean that in the literal sense of the word, that when the marketing team had a project, we had to bid on it and we'd be bidding against external companies, which I never thought made much sense. Right. When they're paying all of our salaries, whether we win the business or not as a company, but very much enforced to us that we had to be competitive skill-wise. We were able to be competitive cost-wise, obviously, because we were trying to bill at cost internally and the outside firms would be billing margin. But yeah, you're right. There's a much less distinction of consulting and client, I think, in our space than there might be in some other more common spaces.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what's one thing that you wish someone had told you before you started working that you now take for granted?
Yeah, I wish that someone had told me, and maybe they did, and I should have listened better, but which is to really cast a wide net in terms of your sort of network and your influencers and the people that you listen and pay attention to. And by that, I mean, it's easy to come out of, especially, a fairly technical graduate, let's say master's level program with a degree in analytics these days, and come out and be a little bit of tunnel vision on, how you're applying that and not listening enough to folks throughout the, let's say, the business or even throughout the industry, in terms of, make contacts in areas that are outside of analytics early, right? Learn from them about whether it's marketing or finance or supply chain, really be very deliberate in making those connections early on in your career, learning what's important to them, what problems they're facing. And it's not always going to be about data and analytics. I tried to make every problem an analytics problem early in my career. And, it's great when it works out that way, but also you can learn so much more and sort of, I think, embed yourself with your business stakeholders. If you take the time early on to learn about their business, even the parts that aren't data and analytics specific.
It's interesting. You mentioned even there some of the change you've had in your thinking over time. As an executive, I imagine you had to shift your management style. Back in the early days when we were both early in our management careers, things were pretty simple. There were generalists like us that we managed largely using SAS, SQL, and database. And so, the management of a very tight knit group of very tight skill sets. Whereas today, there's cloud, there's big data, there's all types of new algorithms, and it really necessitates managing a much broader skill set and much more complicated processes. So how did you end up adapting over these recent years to handle all of that?
Yeah. Of course, this could be an entire webcast itself, right? But I'll give you two quick thoughts. The first one is managing up, right? With all of the transformations that you're talking about, and honestly, all of the hype that's out there around these topics, we have to be ambassadors of this field to the rest of the leadership team. Right. And sort of up through the sea level and helping them understand, what's really out there, what's hype. And most importantly, what's relevant for my business. Right. What should I be thinking about in terms of all this that I'm reading about in machine learning and big data and cloud technology, helping them navigate through that. So I think it's really changed the nature of being a leader in data and analytics over the last, you know, let's say 5 to 10 years in particular, because they need someone to help guide them through, right? And think about how to invest in this, and not only capital investment and things like technology. And then as I switch to thinking about leading a team is, you know, how do I upskill my entire organization to be more data fluent, as I like to call it, right? Managing through not just the people that report directly to me, but the entire organization and driving that sort of higher level of data aptitude, analytics aptitude, because yeah, we all need to upskill there. And then for the people that do directly report in, it's about, you know, teaching them not to fall in love with one particular, you know, language or one particular piece of technology, right? To be willing to shift quickly, right? And learn a new one and, you know, more of the general skills and being able to move from one thing to the next as technology advances. So, you know, I think up and down and across the organization, yeah, you're right. It's our role has really evolved in the last several years.
So when you mentioned some of those things that are required of a team, obviously then you need to look for certain traits as you hire into that team to identify people you think will be successful in that environment. So what are some of those traits or skills that you most focus on as you're interviewing people for your organization?
Yeah, you know, I touched on this a little bit earlier. Definitely we check for, you know, the table stakes, right? Like, do you have the quantitative analytical skills that we're looking for the particular position, right? You know, that's sort of, we make sure that we check that box, and that's fairly straightforward. I mean, we know how to do that. We've got a lot of experience doing that. The part that you're sort of, it's much more subjective, right? Is what I talked about is this person for the job that we're sort of trying to fill and that this person's talking to us about, do they have those soft skills, right? And by those, I mean willingness and ability to build communication skills, to build relationships, and to develop the judgment on, you know, what is the level of rigor needed from an analytical perspective for a particular business problem? And, you know, in some cases up here, in some cases it's down here, and being able to develop that judgment because you have to move it at the speed of the business, right? You know, we come out of our programs in many cases with sort of a very high level of expectation on the rigor that we apply to problems. And I'm never going to suggest that we compromise sort of what's needed. But what's needed really should be, you know, informed by, you know, how fast does the business need an answer, right? And, you know, we always talk about confidence levels, but, you know, to get to a 95% confidence level, maybe that's going to take too long. So we have to be satisfied with a 75% confidence interval, because if you wait to get the 95, it's too late and it doesn't matter anyway, right? So we look for those kinds of things, you know, sort of beyond what I call, you know, as the table stakes, right, of the quantitative and technical skills.
Excellent. Well, then, you know, tying that together, let's say, you know, some of our students are going to be coming into the workforce real, you know, real soon, kind of taking that combination of what you look for, what you think's needed. Is there any advice you'd give to a student starting their career about what they might focus on as they're interviewing for that first job?
Yeah. I mean, I always tell people this, be very clear on sort of what your objectives are and what you're trying to do. I mean, there's so many sort of data and analytics roles out there today, right? You hear everything from data scientist to data engineer to analytics translator. Inform and educate yourself on what those things are. You won't find those titles necessarily, but they're roles that are out there. And make sure that you're very clear on what those different types of roles are and what, you know, where you see yourself fitting in. It's not always, you know, cut and dried that I'm a data scientist, therefore I'm not an analytics translator. It's not like that. But really know what your sweet spot is, and where you see yourself sort of having advantages and disadvantages and how you're going to fill those gaps, and also what you think you'd like. Right. So talk to a lot of people. Like I said, inform yourself on sort of all those different types of roles in this space and sort of have a roadmap for where you're trying to go.
Yeah, you know, I think that's really important too, because the reality is in a big company like a Coke or a FedEx where you've been, there are a variety of people across the organization that might have analytics or data science in their title or in the description of the job they're doing, but they're doing very, very different things. So you need to understand as a student or young professional, what is it I am enjoying? And then make sure that's clear, because you want to get matched with the right data science or analytics role within a big company for what you want, because you could end up at the right big company in the wrong role, and you could be just as miserable as being at the wrong company in the right role.
That's right. Yeah, exactly right. And there's plenty of opportunities and ways, you know, today, right, to sort of network and find folks that, you know, you can learn from and sort of that have been out in the real world and find out what that's like.
So let's finish with one question. We've talked a lot about the past here. Let's do a little forward look. What do you think is one or two of the biggest trends in the analytics data science space that's coming our way over the next couple of years?
Yeah. You know, and there's so many to choose from here, but the one that I find myself very interested in lately is, I touched on it a little bit earlier, but it's about this notion of, you know, you may have heard this notion of citizen data scientist or citizen data analyst, but it's this notion of a much broader enterprise-wide level of data fluency. You know, many firms are talking about digital upskilling today. And, you know, inside of that, I think there's sort of raising this level of data aptitude as well. And I think it's interesting to think about what is the role of, you know, the data scientist or the, you know, the deep analytical SME in that world, right? I mean, you know, you and I have heard a lot and talked a lot about sort of hiring data scientists and then having them come in and build dashboards, right? And, you know, the job satisfaction on that could be quite low for the person with the data science training. You know, hopefully that's going to be one of the good things, right? That changes, like, you know, it's very clear that I expect my entire workforce to be able to operate, you know, a business intelligence sort of tool to go do some data acquisition themselves and to self-serve on some of this kind of stuff. So for a data scientist, what, you know, how does that change the way they've been working with the organization? And it will change it. And so I'm really fascinated to think about how that's going to change our space over the next few years as hopefully we see MBA type programs introduce these things into their curriculums. And we have folks coming out of those programs way ahead of, you know, where they've been in the last several years. So that's going to be a fun one to watch.
I'll tell you, and that trend reinforces your earlier point about you needing to be adaptable and upskilling and so forth, because that trend implies that even the roles as they exist today are going to change over the coming years. And, you know, whether you're new or old in your career, you're going to have to be ready for that if you're going to be able to succeed moving forward.
Yep, absolutely.
So, Rod, hey, thanks so much. I think you gave some great insights for the audience today. And I, as always, I appreciate your time. And it's great to get some insights from you. And I just want to thank you for spending some time talking with the audience and for coming to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. I really appreciate you inviting me. It's always a pleasure to speak with you and look forward to catching up soon.